Hey, 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 it's me, Dr. Letitia Webb, and I am the woman who prayed and painted to clear the muddied waters in my marriage and to heal my emotional pain. And then I took those paintings and turned them into products like t-shirts, as you see, and journals, amen. And I no longer say that I produced power from my pain, but it was through God's grace, mercy, power, and divine glory that I was able to get up. And now I declare that I am God resilient. Amen. We denounce human resiliency because we can do nothing on our own. All things are possible with those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what we declare on our God resilient daily devotional podcast and lives. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. It is Thursday. I am in Philadelphia. We had our first storm, snowstorm of the year, as well as of the 23-24 winter season. And it's supposed to be some more snow on tomorrow. So we do what everybody does, okay? We went to the grocery store. We got all those salt, okay? We stocked up. We wanted to make sure that we had everything that we needed, amen. Because if you snowed in, honey, you need plenty of stuff. Amen, amen, amen. I am just so grateful for those who continue to share life with me and to travel this journey with me. We are firing off on all cylinders. We are on YouTube Live, Facebook Live, and recording the podcast. I am forever grateful unto the Lord for who he is and what he does in our lives. Amen. So let's go ahead and pray. And then we're going to process today's devotional in God resilient. And we will pursue God's word. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you. We praise you. We worship you. And we honor you. Lord God, we say thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for you are sovereign. You're all powerful. You're all knowing, God. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you, Lord God, for all the doors that you will open up in 2024, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for empowering us through your divine glory and divine power, Father God, to overcome any and every setback in our lives, Lord God. Father God, we love you. We need you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We honor you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, and your power. Father God, we invite you into this space. We invite you into this place. Oh, Father God, over the airways, Lord God, we pray that your word will be resounded. Your glory, oh, Father God, will be known throughout the earth realm. And we choose to be those vessels, Lord God, planted by you, Lord God, the work of your hands, Lord God, that you will get the glory. Father God, we just humble ourselves before you, asking you to speak to us, speak through us as we all engage YouTube Live, Facebook Live, Lord God. Who the comments on the podcast, Father God, that we will give words of encouragement for those who we interact with and those who will come later on. Father God, we thank you. We love you and we praise you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Rhonda, it is so good to see you this morning. God bless you. Deacon Johnson, it is another beautiful, glorious day because of who God is. Amen. Not because of who we are, but because of who he is. I am just, y'all, you know, like God just does things and we have no words. We just look like, man, oh man, oh man, you definitely are God. Have you just ever had those moments where you just shake your head and you ponder and you wonder and you just like, I don't know how you do what you do, but you definitely do what you do the only way that you can do it, because you are God. Amen. So now let's go ahead and get into the devotional for God resilient. Amen. And again, if you guys want to get one of the prayer journals or any other journal that I have on Amazon, I have the link in the Facebook Live, and I will make sure I put it on YouTube and the podcast description notes. Amen. So let's get right into it. So now we have some key words or key phrases. Okay. The first key phrase, and I would like for you to put it in the comments, mold it like clay. If you guys can put that in the comments, mold it like clay. These seasons of change can come to mold us like clay. God bless you, Terry. I love you. I love you. I love you. God bless you, Gil. Thank you so much for being here this morning. Amen. So now, as we discussed yesterday, that embracing change produces humility. And I think we all, was able to reflect on the moment that humiliation humbled us. And I think it was Terry who put that in the comments on yesterday. Humiliation, being humiliated, is a humbling experience. And sometimes change comes through humiliation, because we won't change or do anything different unless we have a knee-jerk experience or a, like, just confusing, like, oh my God, side swipe, just like, I can't believe that happened, being knocked off our square. Amen. Sometimes God sends change that way. Whatever way God uses to produce change in our lives, we must embrace it. Amen. So we either humble ourselves in our heart. Sometimes we get to a point, either one, what God is asking of us is, it doesn't take that much of a yes for us to go ahead and humble, you know, ourselves in our heart before the Lord and be like, okay, God, yes. There are circumstances where it's like that. But then there are other circumstances where, honey, we got to put on humility. Amen. We got to put on the spiritual clothing of humility. My God. My God. And we got to let the humility like seep down in our hearts. God has to do that work on the inside. Amen. Changing us on the outside. Amen. So another way that we embrace the winds of change is humbling ourselves like we are clay in the potter's hands. Ooh, think about it. That's a humbling experience. You know, when you think about the clay, and if it's not, if you can't necessarily think about clay, think about if you ever needed some dough. Whatever you had to like do with your hands to kind of form and to shape it to what you wanted it to be. Just imagine, what if the clay yelled at you and be like, don't do that. Why are you pushing on me? Why are you digging all of your fingers in me? Why are you flipping me over and smacking me? Why are you pushing down on me so hard with all of your strength and all of your might? Why are you pulling some of me apart and then putting some of me back together? Why are you doing that? Why are you putting me on this wheel and turning me? And you pressing that pedal, and sometimes you turn me fast and sometimes you turn me slow. And then you're putting water all on me. Why are you doing this to me? Does that sound like us sometimes? We are asking God, the potter, why are you doing this to me? Why are you putting me through this? Why are you breaking my heart? Why are you allowing them to get away with that? Why, God? If you've ever been clay that asks God why, put a hand raise in the chat. Yes, Terry says, ouch. Yes. Yes, I know that I have asked why a many a day. And I would say to God, but look at them. You ain't doing nothing to them. You are letting them get away with that. Child. I'm telling you. We must embrace change. Whew. We must humble ourselves. Amen. God uses every single thing that we experience and every single thing that we go through and every single windy storm of life to change us, not to be bitter, but to be better. My God, I remember the first time I heard that. Yes, Rhonda. I love you, Rhonda. You be raising your hand and your feet, honey. You be like me, child. All the way. Jacked up from the float up and be looking at God like, what? Okay. Like, do it really take all this? There was no other way that you could get this to me. It was no, am I that hard-headed? Am I that blind? Am I that, like, I be asking God, like, that was the only way you could get this to me or change that aspect of me? Child, those be the type of conversations I be having with the Lord. I ain't saying it's right. I just like, Jesus, okay? What's up, Miss Nicola? God bless you. It is so good to see you this morning, and I love you too, Mama. So yes, honey, these windy storms of life, they come to change us. But we have to learn to be better from the change, from the storm, and not bitter. We don't want to be like Naomi. Remember, she was like, call me Mara because I am bitter. No, I understand. Naomi, she lost her man. She lost her sons. She had two daughter-in-laws looking at her like, now what? You know, she had to go back home. Child, you know how it is when you leave home and then you go back and your situation is not as blessed as it was before. Child, we know what that's like with family and people we know. Oh, you back? Oh, you coming back here not on good terms. Amen. She was like, honey, call me Mara because I am bitter. But God had something in store for Naomi. Amen. And he used Ruth to be a blessing unto her. so that she would get that bitterness out of her heart. Because if she stayed in Moab, my God, she would not have who she had and the inheritance that was hers that she was able to enjoy as a result of Ruth's faithfulness. Ruth wasn't bitter. Well, the Bible doesn't reveal Ruth's bitterness when she lost her man. You know? But it revealed Naomi's bitterness. Because Ruth was in a different season of her life. I am telling you, sometimes things are based on the season of life you're in. It could be based on your age, on your circumstances. Different things, amen, causes us to have a different experience in life. A different response to the change. Ruth was still young, beautiful, attractive, honey. She had a whole lot more left to keep that thing going. So her situation of losing her man was different. Because she was like, what's going to happen? You think I'm paraphrasing. As old as I am, you think I'm going to find a man, get with him, get pregnant, and have a son, and you gonna wait around until that son grows up and get old or become of age to get married? She was like, child, go back home to your family. You are young. You still got life to live. And I have people in my life that say that to me on it. Oh, child, you still young. Child, how old are you? Child, please, you all right. And I'm just like, excuse me. Don't be minimizing what I'm going through, okay? Because of my age, child. But that's just me. Y'all know me, child. So, but what I'm saying is sometimes, good morning, Elise. God bless you, mama. Sometimes, the timing of the storm can produce some bitterness. But nevertheless, God wants to make you better because it is not over. That all we got to do is remember Abraham and Sarah. Amen. Ooh, Rhonda says the bitterness was squeezed out. It needed to be revealed so that she, Naomi, could be healed and move on. I just spoke that to myself. Ooh, if I can run, if I can run, if I can run, honey. I want to run for you, Rhonda. Amen. Amen. God allowed the situation. Amen for Naomi. He revealed it. Because he didn't want that. Because trust me, it may not have been that situation to call bitterness, but that means that Naomi had the propensity to become bitter. God knows our propensities, amen, and he will allow a situation to reveal the propensities of the heart and the propensities of the flesh to deal with them early on so they won't manifest later on in our lives. My God, my God, my God, hallelujah. Yes, William Webb IV, thank you for being in agreement, man of God. Yes, Sister Nicola, he revealed it to heal it. Oh, my God, y'all preaching this morning. He revealed it so that he could heal her. And he knew where she was. He knew. So what did he do? He put it in Ruth's heart. She had a ram in the bush. God blessed her. He was like, I have something for you. Don't be bitter. Trust me. Get up out of Moab because they don't love me anyway. Because it could have been her environment. Ah. Environment is everything. I am telling you, whether it's the environment of your family, the environment of your job, the environment of your neighborhood, I am telling you, it makes a difference. You can put the same child in a different environment and they will be a completely different person. I have seen it repeatedly working with children. On and off over the years. I am telling you. Naomi was in Moab. They didn't serve God. If you around people in places that don't serve God, God is going to send something in your life to get you up out of that situation. Terry says that we are products of our environment. Yes. And it's both. There's no longer the argument of nature versus nurture. We remember that from years ago. It's no longer an argument. It is nature and nurture. It is who you are, who God created you to be. Okay, and I taught that with my bachelor's level students at Lancaster Bible College in their human development in the social environment course. Like, we are multidimensional beings. We have to look at things from a biopsychosocial perspective. Bio means who you are. Social is your environment. Psycho is like your mindset. Biopsychosocial. How you respond to things. Your temperament. Are there any medical problems? Are there any intellectual disabilities? Are things hereditary in your life? All of that makes you who you are. We have to look at things from a biopsychosocial perspective. We can't look at just one aspect of a person and think we know them. That's why God, who knows all, who sees all, will allow the windy storms of change to come in your life to reveal to you what's in you. Not what you say. Not who you think you are, not what you think you know, not how you think you will respond, but who you really are, so that he can deal with it. Yes, he revealed it to heal it. That's what God wants. He wants us to humble ourselves to be molded like clay in his hands. Jesus. Jesus. Because in the potter's hands, our thoughts, our emotions, our attitudes, our intentions, our motives, our communication, our conversation, our reactions, our worldviews, our belief systems, our outlooks on life are molded to resemble Jesus. That's the purpose of it. To get us out of the way. To become more like Jesus, because he is the Word made flesh. And we are living epistles read by all men. You know, I was in a coaching program last year. And one of the, and I'm telling you, this assignment was like so powerful. One of the assignments in the coaching program, was like, okay, find your favorite person, your favorite author, your favorite entertainer, your favorite singer, and just do some research about them and just find out what made them different. Like, why do you have an affinity towards them? Why do you love them? And why are they your favorite, quote unquote, entertainer or author or whatever? So my favorite entertainer of all times is Luther Vandross, right? And being dedicated to the assignment, I didn't just want to talk about, y'all know I'm a forever a student. I'm a lifelong learner. Amen. Put lifelong learner in the chat if you a lifelong learner. So I'm like, okay, I don't want to just answer the question. I want to do some research. Okay. So I went on YouTube and I looked at about two or three different documentaries on Luther Vandross' life. And in one of the interviews, he stated, and I can't remember the question the interviewer posed. Amen. Thank you, Terry, lifelong learner. But this was Luther Vandross' response. He said, you should have the same message. If people are going to follow, and I'm paraphrasing, if people are going to follow you, if people are going to become your fans, it should be something about you that people should be able to say something. People should be like, and your message should be the same. He said, so if somebody learned about you 20 years ago, they should be saying the same thing about you now. And I really thought about that thing. And I was like, okay, well, what is it about Luther Vandross's music that keeps me like listening to him? And I discovered that Luther Vandross has a theme to his music. And just about all of his songs talk about love and being loved, loving someone and having that loved return. My God. And the light bulb came on. And I was like, that's why I resonate with his music. Because I, based on what I experienced in my childhood, which had nothing to do with romantic love, but nevertheless, I wanted to be loved and have that love reciprocated by at least one other person in the entire world, because I never experienced it. Well, not never. I didn't experience it the way I needed it. Amen. I had to accept the love that was given unto me. And I learned that from my uncle who raised me. Amen. Which goes, you know, against the five love languages, but nevertheless, everyone has their own perspective. And it clicked. And I'm like, when you listen to his music over the years, it's the same theme. Do you have a theme in your life that regardless of the windy storms of your life, people will be able to say this thing about you? And what is that thing about you that people can say? Irrespective of the change, irrespective of being molded, in respect of being in the potter's hands, do you have the same theme? Do you declare the same message? And I learned at that time, my message was, I want people healed, delivered, and set free. Because of my own childhood trauma. Because I've underwent so much deliverance. Because I was so bound. So whether I had demystifying sexuality and the impact of trauma, let's see how far you go with following me. Amen. That was about being healed and set free. Whether it was discovering the authentic self and the six dimensions of the authentic self, I wanted you to learn about who you are so that you can be healed, delivered, and set free. Whether it was engaging in self-care so that you can be healed, delivered, and set free. Whether it was about the authentic love experience so that you can be healed in your marriage, delivered from whatever you needed to be delivered from, so you can be free to enjoy your spouse, your man, your woman, your life partner. It's the same message. Whether you were producing power from your pain through the P4 experience, I wanted you to be healed, delivered, and set free. Whether you were having sacred waters in your marriage and you were clearing the muddied waters and you were freshening the waters and you were deepening the waters, it's because I wanted you to be healed from whatever you experienced in your marriage, to be delivered from that hurt and that pain so that you could be free. Oh my God, do you have the same reoccurring theme in your life, irrespective of the winds of change? What can people say about you that irrespective of what you go through, irrespective of the iteration process, irrespective of what appears to be inconsistency that you're changing repeatedly, is your theme the same? What can people say about you? And we know that Luther Vandross, he sung love songs. He wanted to be loved and he wanted to love one person. Hallelujah. Elise says, come on now, I need this confirmation. Well, praise God. Terry says, we're feasting. Hallelujah. Elise says, the same reoccurring theme in your life, regardless of what we go through. Because we are oaks of righteousness. And it disheartens me when I see someone, excuse me, y'all, real quick. When I see someone who professes Christ and then they convert to Islam, I'd be like, what happened? What happened? It'd be so jarring to me. Oh my God, reveal yourself. If that's what you choose, I get it. You choose what you choose. But when you shift like that. So even if the method changes, even if the presentation changes, even if the delivery changes, what is your reoccurring theme? Even in the midst of the storm, even when you are being molded by the potter's hand. Jesus. See, the potter knows. Say, my God. He knows. He knows what we need. Rhonda says, yes, they didn't get to know Jesus, the Son of the Living God. Oh. Elise says, keeping the same method is very important. I get you, but sometimes methods change, Elise. Because sometimes God changes his methods. God doesn't do the same thing in every season. But he's still God. The end purpose never changes. Is to get us more like Christ. So that he will get the glory out of our lives. So that we will be saved and rule and reign with him for eternity. That's never going to change. The methods may change. The seasons may change. The times may change. But the purpose and the outcome, that remains the same. Amen. So the potter knows what winds of change to send our way that will both humble and strengthen us. These winds of change are to humble us and strengthen us. Elise says, yes, you're right. Seasons do change. We must change to be better. Yes. Yes. Not bitter, but better. Oh, if you are here and I have not shout you out, let me know that you are here. I want to give you some love, honey. Amen. Jump on in to the conversation. God bless you, man of God, my husband. He says, my occurring theme is no matter what, don't give up. Yes. Yes. What did your uncle say? Or I think it was your grandfather, honey. He was like, get up and look fear dead in the face and speak truth to power and brush it, wipe your face off and get up. You have a way that you say that, and you have been preaching that same message from the first time that I heard you speak is how we met. Get up, look fear straight in the eye, speak truth to power, don't give up, keep moving, keep going. Amen. No matter what happens in your life, no matter how many times you fall, no matter how many times you don't get it right, no matter how many times people judge it and leave you, hey, get up. Hallelujah. Get up. Mine is somebody putting in chat, healed, delivered, and set free. God bless you, Terry. Sister Terry, how are you, mama? Praise God. It's so wonderful to see you this morning. God bless you. Amen. Somebody put in the chat, healed, delivered, and set free. Honey, that's my theme. However I present it, in whatever thing I develop, and what, oh, yes, yes. So Elise says, being transparent, sometimes in my mind, I do want to give up on certain things and situations, but I refuse to because God is going to heal me. I know that's right, girl. You better declare it. You better declare it. It's the truth about you that will set you free. You need to know. You want to give up. Honey, that was my story 2 weeks ago. Crying. Gave up. And then because I got up to do Jesus calling, to be a woman of integrity, to keep my word to God and to be here for you, God blessed me. And healed, delivered, and set me free and strengthened me to keep going. I just gave up. And if God did it for me, at least he will do it for you. He is not a respecter of persons. He will heal that place. He will transform you. He will renew your mind. He will strengthen your weakness. My husband clarified the thing he be saying. He says, there's no disgrace to fall on your face. The disgrace is if you stay there. Ah! Are you going to stay there? Are you going to stay in Moab? Are you going to stay bitter? What you going to do? Rhonda says, no matter how old you are, I know that's right, honey. Whatever it is that you're going through in your life, don't look at your age. There is no disgrace to fall on your face. The disgrace is if you stay there. Remember how we talked about sometimes we go through stuff and we don't make it out. And then we are disgraced if we don't make it out, if we don't get up, if we stay in it and stay there. No, get up. Get up. And even if you are up in age, like Naomi, ask God to send you a prophetic Ruth. Ha! Ha! Hallelujah! 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 Hallelujah. 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 Terry says, pick up my bed and walk. Yes. You got to pick up your bed and walk. Hallelujah. Elise says to William Webb that statement is powerful. Sister Nicola says, we have to move. Get out of that place. Go. And she takes off running with her emojis. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't give up. God will heal you. Be faithful to God. Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Embrace the change. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Terry. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Embrace the change. Hallelujah. We are God resilient. Put God resilient in the comments. It is not in our own power. We denounce human resiliency. We declare God resilient. It is only through Him. Through His divine power, through His grace, through His mercy, through His love, because of His plan, because what is written in the Lamb's book of life, God resilient. I am telling you, save God, I am nothing. Don't let this fool you, child. I got more issues than the next one. You will never know my true struggles. But it is God. God, 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 His grace, His love, His purpose for my life. And I tell single women, child, don't look at me because I got a husband. It's a part of the purpose of God's will for my life. I am no different than any other woman because I'm married. And then I had the grace to be married twice. And some women have never been married. I am no different. It's the purpose that God. I wouldn't have God resilient if I didn't go through what I went through in my marriage. It all has purpose. God used that situation. As it was things that I needed to be delivered from that had nothing to do with my husband. The devil is a lie on YouTube, child. It don't stop recording. It's all right. We already know what the deal is. Rhonda says, remember Tamar. After she was raped by her half-brother, she went to live with the other brother. The Bible says she lived the rest of her life as a desolate woman. She was 14 years old when she was raped. Because once you are defiled, you can never get married again. And she was a princess. He didn't just take what he wanted. He took her whole life and all of her potential. My God. But thank God for the redemptive power of Jesus. That doesn't have to be our story. Amen. Deacon Johnson says, God resilient. Yes. Sister Nicola says, God resilient, period. Pooh. I know that's right. Child, and I'm cut off on YouTube. It's all right, child. Did it come back on? Okay. All right, let's turn to God's word. Oh, Elise says, God has a purpose for all of us. God does not put anything in our lives that we cannot handle. You better tell the truth and shame the devil. Let's pursue God's word in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8. Amen. Isaiah chapter, Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8. I was looking at chapter 65. I was like, that is not the word of God. All right, now. I read in a Home and Christian Standard Bible. God bless you, Elise. Thank you so much. Terry says, purpose-driven life in God's resilience. Hallelujah. All right, Isaiah 64, verse 8. And the word of God says, yet, Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We all are the work of your hands. Okay, wait. So yesterday, we learned that we are branches planted by the Lord, the work of his hands. Now we see that we are the clay and he is the potter and we are the work of his hands. We either going to be planted somewhere so that we can grow, or we're going to be molded and shaped like the clay. And either one God chooses at whatever time, or maybe he is planting us in a situation so that he can mold us. Okay. Because sometimes God will put you in that situation, whatever that situation is. And he will use that situation to mold you like clay our key phrase, in his hands, so that we will be like Jesus. I love you too, Elise. God bless you. Yes, Mama. We are the work of God's hands. Hallelujah. 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 The work of God's hands. Jesus. Jesus. Lord have mercy. Whoo! Hallelujah. Embrace the change, y'all. Embrace the change. So let's turn to Job chapter 10, verses 8 through 13. The book of Job, chapter 10, verses 8 through 13. And the word of God states, oh, hold on. Terry's husband, Gil, says we have to be flexible so that he can mold us. Child, that's why yesterday we were talking about the power of adaptability. You are absolutely right. Because you don't want God to break you. God's will gonna be done. Amen. Oh, boo-boo, I love you too. Thank you. God is. Yes, boo. Have a wonderful day. I'll talk to you later, babe. Job chapter 10, verses 8 through 13. The word of God says, your hands shaped me and formed me. Obviously, being shaped and being formed are two different things. Will you now turn and destroy me? How many of us feel that way when we going through stuff? We feel like we are dying and God is destroying us. He is. He's destroying our flesh. He's destroying our attitudes. He's destroying those belief systems, those negative thought processes. Yeah, he's destroying some stuff. This is Job crying out, please remember that you formed me like clay. Will you now return me to dust? Oh my God. Oh my God. This is why I love Job, because he had some real conversations with God, okay? He was asking him all sorts of questions. Did you not pour me out like milk and curdle me like cheese? Yeah, you clothed me with skin and flesh and wove me together with bones and tendons. You gave me life and faithful love, and your care has guarded my life. Yet you concealed these thoughts in your heart. I know that this was your hidden plan. I don't know what it says in your translation, but in the Holman Christian Standard Bible, it says in Job 10, verse 13, yet you concealed these thoughts in your heart. I know that this was your hidden plan. Yes. Yes, Rhonda, Job was serious. We got to get like Job. And I think Deacon Johnson said it the other day. It's like God like purposely sends the storm. And when you get to a point in God that you begin to thank him from the storm, thank him for the storm, because you know that it's a part of his plan. That is going to work out for your good because you love the Lord and you are called according to his purpose. We got to get to that place. We're not all in that place. We got to get to the place where we can thank God for the storm, that we can thank God for the change. Whew. Because God conceals things. He conceals the thoughts of his heart. He conceals the whys. He conceals what he's really trying to produce. He conceals some things. But what he didn't conceal, this, we got to take this logos until we get the rhema. We got to take the written word until we get the rhema word on what God is doing. The revealed word, the revealed purpose. Amen? Shh. My God. My God, y'all, God is good and worthy of our praise. Amen. Child, that's all that we have on today, y'all. I hope this, child, if this was good, amen. Go ahead and share it. So you guys are going to see, I'm going full transparency. Okay. You guys are going to start seeing at the very first comment, a thank you, a call to action for you to share, this live, share it, do all those good things. But also too, if you want to be a blessing unto me, go over to Amazon, purchase one of my products. Or if you want to give just a seed of blessing, I put my Venmo and my Zelle. I do have Cash App, but if you use Cash App, let me know and I can put the Cash App, but people have so many issues with Cash App, you know what I mean? But please go ahead and be a blessing unto me if you were blessed. Amen. So Rhonda says, God used you to take us deeper. Thank you. Amen. Amen. I choose to be a blessing unto the Lord and a vessel. Amen. Sister Evelyn says, God bless you, boo. She's at the doctor's office with her baby for her checkup. So can be on right now. She will be, oh, the baby gonna be 7 months on Sunday. Girl, you had that baby 7 months. Girl, you did have that baby 7 months ago. Because we sent a gift. My God, because we couldn't make it to the baby shower. My God, look at the baby. God bless the baby, Lord. Bless Evelyn and Aaron's baby, oh Father God, and their oldest child, Lord God. Continue to be with them and strengthen them and put them in a place, Lord God, that they will be able to share the love of God and pour your love into their children, oh Father God, that they will grow up serving you, loving you, and worshiping you, Lord God. Protect their children and may all go well with her doctor's appointment. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you, Elise. Yes, I thank you. Yes, thank you, thank you. Yes, the purpose is for God to use me. Amen. Yes, we lift up Sandra, amen, and her husband and the surgery today. Father God, we release your spirit to go before them. Oh, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we've already prayed. So, God, we thank you, oh, Father God, for everything that we prayed for the surgery on today. We seal it with the blood blood of Jesus Christ, oh Father God, we've already sent your glory, the blood, Father God, your angels to go before Sandra and her husband, oh Father God. Do it, oh Father God. We have come together in agreement as one on behalf of Sandra and her husband. In the name of Jesus, we pray. God bless y'all. Have a wonderful, beautiful day. Amen.